Translation. Shukadev Goswami continued, after the creator of the entire universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari had spoken in this way in the presence of Prajapati Daksha, he immediately disappeared as if he were an object experienced in a dream. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 4th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Hamsa Guhya Prayers Offered to the Lord by Prajapati Daksha. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishaye Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So these two verses mark the end of the 4th chapter of the 6th canto. We have heard about Prajapati Daksha, who is a Prajapati, a progenitor, engaged by Brahma in populating the universe. Daksha, having created many living entities, was still not satisfied with the progress, and therefore he engaged himself in austerities to please the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and the Lord was pleased upon him. He appeared and blessed him that your desires will be fulfilled, and he awarded him a nice wife through whom he could procreate and beget many, many children for populating the universe. And the Lord is blessing him here that after you give birth to many hundreds and thousands of children, they will also come under the influence of my illusory energy, and they will further increase the population of this universe. And then the Supreme Lord disappeared. Earlier on in the purports, Srila Prabhupada has emphasized that one need not seek the favor of the Lord for such things. One should not think that Daksha received the favor of the Lord by receiving the facilities for unlimited sex. Later verses will reveal that Daksha again committed an offense, this time at the lotus feet of Narada. So therefore, even though one may obtain the blessings of the Lord for such purposes, that is not the best purpose for which we can approach the Lord. It's common in India to find people approaching sadhus for blessings, and then they usually expect some material blessings. Please bless my son that he will do well in his business. Please bless such and such that he may have some material progress. So blessings are seen as a means of material advancement. One time Srila Prabhupada was approached in a train by a family. A man had his family members. He had many children and he wanted to take blessings. And Prabhupada was tired and he could understand the purpose for which this man had come. So he immediately replied, "Yes, I will bless you and bless your children that they can become like my disciples here." And the disciples there were shaven-headed, saffron-robed. The man immediately departed in great haste. He didn't want to come for any more blessings to Prabhupada. So the real blessings of the Lord or of His pure devotee are that we can become also a pure devotee. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to offer His blessings, Krishne Matirastu. May your inclinations, may your intelligence be always resting in Krishna. May you become Krishna conscious. There are other forms of blessings we see people give in India. Chiranjiva Bhava, may you live long. So like that, there are varieties of blessings that are traditionally given by elders to the youngsters. But even a long life is not necessarily a great blessing. If one has a long life and one commits sinful activities, then better one had a short life. Then at least one would have committed less sinful activity. Whereas some of the greatest saintly persons in history have lived short lives, relatively. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived only 48 years in his manifest pastimes on this planet. So therefore the best blessing we can ever ask for is that we should become pure devotees of the Lord, completely selfless and devoted to the Lord. So in any case, the Supreme Lord is very kind. The Supreme Lord is like a touchstone. He fulfills whatever desires you may have. But there is a difference between a touchstone and the Supreme Lord. The touchstone doesn't consider whether it's for your welfare or not. You know that story of the businessman who approached Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami had this chintamani, this touchstone. And the businessman came and approached him and said, "I heard you have a touchstone. You're a sadhu, you're a renunciant. What do you need this for? So please give it to me. I'm a worldly man. I have needs." So Sanatana Goswami said, "All right, there, you know, the garbage dump, you can find it over there inside." So he was a little surprised that this touchstone should be in a garbage dump, but nevertheless he was more concerned with the touchstone. So he took it away and he started getting huge quantities of gold and jewels and whatever he wanted. But still it didn't satisfy him. And he came back to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami eventually gave him the holy name, the greatest jewel. But the point is that the touchstone didn't discriminate. Oh, I'm giving this person gift after gift, gold and silver and jewels and everything he wants, and he's still not satisfied, so maybe I should stop giving him. Or maybe I should change his mind. The touchstone doesn't think like that. The touchstone just gives. Similarly, the demigods. The demigods also have the capacity by the blessings of Lord Krishna to offer benedictions to their worshippers. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that these worshippers are unintelligent or less intelligent. Antavattu phalam tesham tad bhavatyalpa medhasam. He says that these people who are worshipping me are alpa medhasam. They are less intelligent because they come to me for fruits which are temporary. Antavat. They have an end. Devan deva yajo yanti madhyanti majyajinopi mam. And those who worship the devas, they go to the devas. And those who come to me, those who worship me, they come to me. So therefore, even approaching the demigods for material benedictions is not useful. Because they will give at best temporary benefits, and even they will not consider whether these benefits are for our welfare or not. We see numerous instances. Brahma gave benedictions to Hiranyakashipu, and eventually the Lord had to caution Brahma, "Please don't give such benedictions henceforth. You put me into embarrassment." Similarly, Lord Shiva gave benedictions to Banasur. He gave benedictions to Ravana. And then they became the scourge of the universe. They didn't consider what would be the impact on the worshipper himself. Just like a shopkeeper, when a child approaches him for some liquor or some cigarette or something like that, some forbidden item, if the child has money, the shopkeeper would probably give it to him and not consider that this child is not supposed to be doing this at this age. But the father or the mother, if the child asked the father, mother, please give me this money so I can buy this, they wouldn't allow it. So similarly, the Supreme Lord considers the welfare of the child, of the devotee, of the worshipper. But sometimes, knowing that the devotee's heart is set on that material accomplishment or that desire, he sometimes gives it. But then, how the Lord deals with such a worshipper is described beautifully by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami, as recounted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kaviraj Goswami, quoting Mahaprabhu, says, Kami Jnani Siddhi Subuddhi Jodi Hoy Gaad Bhakti Yoge Tobe Krishnera Bhajaye. The three kinds of people: there is the Kami, or the one who wants sense enjoyment. There is a jnani who wants moksha or liberation. There is a siddhi who wants the mystic powers that come out of practice of yoga. Now these three categories of people, subuddhi yadi hoy, if somehow good intelligence comes to them, buddhi means intelligence, su means good. So somehow or the other, for these three categories of people, if they get some good intelligence, then what happens? Gaad bhakti yoge. Then they start performing intense devotional service. Tabe Krishna bhajai, and therefore they serve or they worship Krishna. So any of these three categories of people here, Kaviraj Goswami is, or Mahaprabhu is not referring to pure devotees. He is referring to those who have some ulterior motive. And then Mahaprabhu quotes this famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Wherein Shukadev Goswami instructs all living entities that regardless of one's disposition, one should worship Krishna. Whether one is akama, without material desires, whether one is sarva kama, one is full of material desires, whether one is mokshakami, one desires liberation from this material world and to merge into the impersonal Brahman, whatever the desire may be, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Tivrena means with great intensity. One should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while teaching Sanatana Goswami, is quoting Krishna. He is paraphrasing what Krishna is thinking or what Krishna is saying when such a worshipper approaches him. Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay sukh amrita chhadi vishay mage ei bada murkh. So Mahaprabhu says, Krishna is saying, Krishna kahe mage vishay sukh, that he is, this worshipper is asking for vishaya sukh. Sukh means happiness, vishaya means the senses, the sense objects. So this worshipper has come to me and is asking for sense gratification. Krishna kahe mage vishaya sukh. And he gives up vishaya chadi, he gives up, or rather amrita chadi vishamage, he gives up the nectar of my devotion, of the pure devotion, vishamage, and he's asking me poison. He should just ask me for pure devotional service, which is the nectar. But he doesn't ask that. Amrita Chhadi, he leaves aside this nectar and instead he asks me for poison. A bada murkh, and therefore he's a big fool, Krishna says. And then Mahaprabhu quotes Krishna further as saying, Ami vigya, E murkhe vishaya keno dibo. Swacharanamrita diya vishay bhulaibo. He says, he is a fool, but I am not a fool. Ami vigya, I am very intelligent, Krishna says. Ami vigya e murkhe vishay keno dibo. So why will I give unnecessary sense gratification to this foolish person? But what I will do instead is, Swacharanamrita diya, I will give him the nectar of my lotus feet, vishay bhulaibo, and then I will make him forget sense gratification. Anya kami jodi kare Krishna ra bhajan, no magite hai Krishna tare den swacharan. So if an anya kami means someone desiring something other than Krishna's lotus feet, some ulterior motive, some desire other than pure devotion. If such a person comes to Krishna, anya kami jodi kare Krishna ra bhajan, if such a person performs bhajan or worship of Krishna, then Krishna gives him his lotus feet. Tar dan swacharan. Swacharan means his own lotus feet. Na magiteha. Even though that worshipper has not asked for it, Krishna still gives it to him. That is his mercy. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, there is another verse where it is said that truly Krishna does fulfill the desires of his worshippers, but nevertheless he does not grant anything to his worshippers which would cause them, after having received that gift, to petition the Lord for the same thing again and again. Rather, Krishna purifies the heart of that devotee and awards him pure devotional service. This is Krishna's mercy. So what Krishna does is, he's like an expert physician who treats an injury which is, or a wound which is itching, which one feels like scratching, and he gives us an ointment which we rub on that wound, and then it calms the itches. He doesn't give us something that can help us scratch it more and more so we get some pleasure. So this is Krishna's mercy. He fulfills those desires to the extent that he thinks is right, and at the same time he gradually works on the heart of that devotee, of that worshipper, and eventually makes him realize, oh, what have I done? Why am I wasting my time? And then he gives that worshipper pure devotional service. Mahaprabhu says there are numerous instances like this, and then he quotes the famous example of Dhruva Maharaj, who came to Krishna asking for some material benediction. He didn't want something ordinary. You know, people in this world go to Krishna or go to the Lord for some daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread, our Father who art in heaven. They just want some bread. But Dhruva Maharaj wasn't satisfied with a little bread. He wanted a kingdom that was greater than the kingdom of his great-grandfather, Brahma. Who can have a kingdom greater than Brahma? Brahma is the chief living entity in the whole universe. So how could the Lord have given him something more than that? But the Lord did. He gave him his own kingdom. He gave him a special planet that would not be destroyed even at the time of universal destruction. And that Krishna also told him, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. And he told him at the end that also you will rule your father's kingdom for 36,000 years with unimpaired senses. And then you will go to Dhruvaloka, the special planet, the spiritual planet that I have earmarked for you within this universe. So Dhruva Maharaj was saying, no, no, I don't want it. But still Krishna says, no, you take it. Sthanabhilashi tapasi sthitoham tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam kacham vichinvan api divyaratnam swamin kritartho smi varam nayache. This verse was quoted by Mahaprabhu, appears in the Hari Bhakti Sudodhaya. And Dhruva Maharaj says to the Lord, when he appears before him after he completed his austerities for 6 months, He said, Sthan Abhilashi. I was desiring a sthan, a very high position. And therefore, tapasi sthitoham. I situated myself in tapasya, in penance. And then, tvam praptavan, and then I obtained you. Deva Munindra Guhyam, who are very difficult to obtain even for the devas, the demigods, and the great sages and renunciants. But I obtained you. But having obtained you, now I have realized something. Kacham vichinvan api divyaratnam. I realize now that I came to you asking for broken pieces of glass, whereas now I have a priceless jewel. And therefore, Swamin Kritarthaha, now, my dear Lord, I am completely satisfied. Varam na yache. Varam means benediction. So I have no further desire to ask any benediction from you. I don't want a kingdom. I don't want anything. I am fully satisfied because I have seen you. That's all. My heart is fully satiated. But the Lord said, no. You have to take it. You have to take what I'm giving you. You have to take something. Some acharyas have commented on this point that when a devotee comes to the Lord, even with material desires, the reason Krishna sometimes even fulfills that desire is because Krishna has to save his own reputation. People will say, oh, this person approached Krishna and his worship was fruitless. Just see, he wasted his time. That means the Supreme Lord can't give any benedictions. The Supreme Lord is not able to fulfill anyone's desires. So Krishna told Dhruva, when Dhruva said, no, I don't want anything, Krishna said, look, you have to take something. It's a question of my prestige, you know. Just take something. Otherwise people will say that you did austerities for such a long time and now you've come away empty-handed. So they will lose faith in me. So Dhruva Maharaj most reluctantly agreed. So sometimes Krishna may give also such benedictions, but he gives the strength to not get carried away by these opulences. Like when Sudama came to Dwarka and Krishna worshipped him. Many times in India people make a big issue of why did Lord Ram worship Shiva on the way to Lanka? That means Shiva is superior to Ram. So Ram is not the Supreme Lord, it is Shiva who is the Supreme Lord, right? You find people making that argument. It's very common in India, by the Shaivites especially, those who follow Lord Shiva. Firstly, in the Valmiki Ramayana, there is no mention that of this incident, that Lord Ram worshipped a Shivalinga or Lord Shiva. But even if he did, there is nothing unusual about that. He worshipped Sudama as well. He actually offered arati to Sudama. He washed his lotus feet with milk and various substances. He offered him arati. He made him sit on his own bed. He massaged his feet. He did so many services for Sudama. Because that's Krishna's nature. Krishna likes to serve his devotees. That's the first point. And the second point is that Ram, although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is playing the role of a human being. And Lord Shiva is a very exalted personality. He is not the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, but nonetheless, he is indeed very, very exalted. And he is a great Vaishnav. He is an incarnation of the Lord, a Guna avatar. Therefore, it was in the fitness of things that Lord Ram should worship Lord Shiva at that place. So similarly here we see Krishna actually worshipped Sudama. And Sudama was feeling very awkward to give a little chipped rice which he had with him, which was not befitting a great king like Krishna. But nevertheless, Krishna is prema pujari. He is one who relishes love. He doesn't accept the physical offerings, he accepts the devotion in those offerings. And therefore, Sudama's devotion was accepted by Krishna, even though the chipped rice was stale and it wasn't fit for him to eat. And when he had one morsel and wanted to take the second, then Rukmini Devi was standing behind and she caught hold of Krishna's hand and said, "No, my dear Lord, no more, no more. That's enough. Even this one morsel you have taken here makes me obliged to give this Brahmana more wealth than I have given anyone. And if you take this second morsel, then I have nothing left to give him." Because that is how indebted Krishna was to Sudama for his love for him. And then when Sudama returned home, he didn't know that he was going to get all this opulence. And when Sudama returned home, lo and behold, what did he see? A magnificent palace and all kinds of gorgeously decorated servants and unimaginable opulence. He couldn't even recognize his own wife because she was so opulently dressed. And Krishna gave this to him because he knew that Sudama would not misuse this opulence. So the opulence that is given to the devotees is given by Krishna in trust and in confidence that, yes, my devotee will not misuse it now. And he gives the devotee the intelligence and the strength to also resist the temptations that may come to misuse that opulence that has been given. So the opulence given to a devotee or the facilities given to a devotee are the gift of the spiritual energy. But the opulence given to a materialist, because materialists also are wealthy, but those are gifts given by the Lord's illusory energy. So for Daksha, even though it is a Lord who is benedicting him, he says here that you will get hundreds and thousands of children and they will also be captivated by my illusory energy and procreate. So even though the Lord has benedicted him, but these benedictions are coming to him through the illusory energy. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj's benedictions actually came personally because Dhruva Maharaj did not want that. And therefore the spiritual energy came into play. So therefore we see that as devotees, Krishna gives us many things. And we should be very, very cautious to see that these things are very properly and conscientiously used in Krishna's service. They should not be used for ourselves more than what is required for our basic existence. So therefore, Krishna is very kind upon his worshippers, his devotees, and regardless of whether one comes to him with material desires or not, he fulfills those desires and makes them devotees. So if Krishna can award pure devotional service and his lotus feet even to a worshipper who comes with some ulterior motives, why will he not reciprocate with a devotee who comes with sincere motives, even though that devotee may have some material desires lurking in the heart? But because the motivation of the devotee is pure, then Krishna will very quickly award success. Therefore, the first thing that Rupa Goswami says that is favorable for devotional service is utsahan, enthusiasm. The devotee is enthusiastic because of the confidence that he or she has in Krishna, that Krishna will award success. So therefore, one is enthusiastic. If one is doubtful, will I be successful or not? You know, I'm working hard and will something come out of it or not? Then one cannot be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm comes from faith that, yes, Krishna will award pure devotional service to me. My efforts will not be in vain. So that is a confidence, nishchayad, the confidence that one should have in rendering devotional service. So thank you very much. We'll stop here. We have a few minutes left for questions and comments.